Today we have David Bowling online, who is the exec director of Congregations for the Homeless. And in the room we have Kayla Hodges, who is the program manager for the Rotating Shelter. So with that, I will turn it over to Kit Bowerman.
Thank you, Susan. David Bowling currently is the executive director of Congregation for the Homeless, with over 20 years of experience working in social and family services, including 16 years with CFH. He received a bachelor in psychology from the University of Washington and an MA in counseling and psychology from the Seattle School of Theology and Psychology. Prior to this role, David served as CFH's director of shelter services for 9 years, which included overseeing and supervising agency shelter programs and creating several new programs over the years. David is an alumni of Leadership Eastside and services on the board of the Alliance of Eastside Agency. He has lived and worked in East King County since 2005 and is committed to helping to create a community where everyone can thrive and live into their best potential.
Thank you, Kit. Is this my cue to dive on in?
I think so.
Wonderful. Well, welcome. Good morning to you all. There's been a little bit of a game time change or addition. As Susan was talking about, we also have Kayla Hodges. My initial plan was to be in the room, but I didn't realize when I booked this that it was going to be midwinter break and I have my kids. And so I'm in Eastern Washington. So for the last few days so that they can get time with family while I work. So I'm in my sister's room right now doing this. So Kayla, come on back up. I'll let you introduce yourself.
All right. Is this working here? Well, thank you all for having me here. I've been with Congregations for the Homeless for about 3 years, and the majority of my time has been spent working inside the emergency shelter, working alongside the men and the staff to move our programs forward. Another program that I operate is the motel shelter, and recently I've transitioned into managing the rotating shelter, which we're on our way here in March. So thank you for having me here today.
So today, thanks for joining us, Kayla. So today, between Kayla and myself, we'll be answering questions and fielding comments, and we've got a bit of a presentation. But I first just want to say thank you so much for the several years now that you have hosted CFH, the rotating shelter for the men. And I still remember that first year, I think it was 2008, when we asked you in an emergency situation, hey, can you host us for the month? And you graciously said yes. And then we had a winter snowstorm and we're 24/7 for like a week or something. And then the next time we came back, a pandemic hit and we said, hey, can we be here for a month? And we ended up being there 4 months. So you guys have been so just grace-filled in serving the men and really helping them find a home where they can thrive and launch back into stability. So your partnership is a blessing. In addition, you housed CFH administrative offices for 10 years. So I got to sit there and interact with the fine staff there, like Mary and others. And so thank you for that. You guys have been such a blessing to CFH in our growth, as we have grown over the years to meet more of the need of homelessness in our region. So thank you. I'm going to dive in and see if I can get this presentation working. Predominantly today, I want to talk to you about an exciting project for CFH, what we're calling Shelter Reimagined. And it's really going to highlight mostly on our emergency shelter and administrative offices, which we're going to have a permanent home for the first time ever in East King County. So we'll be talking about that. And then at the end, I do want to give some time to Kayla to really kind of dive into the program that you all host, which is the rotating shelter. And you guys will hear a little bit more about how they interplay, but this is an actual picture of a rendering of what the building should look like. And I'm excited to share more about it. I want to start with the need. On any given night, we think there's probably between 500 and 750 different men experiencing homelessness in East King County. And that would be between the shelters that we operate, sleeping out in the woods, couch surfing, some of them are. But there's a real need here. And this gentleman here is Dave. He is a man that he comes to mind when I think of the Emergency Shelter Project. He came back to us like in, I think, 2018. And he came with some significant mental health struggles, anxiety, some PTSD. And he really struggled with some addiction issues. He was really using that to try to manage his anxiety and depression and mental health issues. And that first season that when we were open, we were only open 6 months of the year for the emergency shelter. And we built relationship with Dave, but it was hard going. And then we shut down and he ended up going and living in his vehicle, living outside for some of that time. Then we opened up that next season. And Dave came back to us, and it was that time that we were able to help get him connected to mental health services more deeply. And then he went to treatment and he came back. And the beautiful thing with Dave is he worked the program. He was in St. Andrews last year or 2 years ago. He was a part of the population there, and he was really a shining bright light for the men there. He was really working his recovery, and he's now been housed for over a year in a Factoria house where he is also really helping to stabilize that community. But I think of Dave because, older man in our community, sleeping outside is just not a place to be. And I also just think about the fact that if we had a permanent space for him, we could have helped him get housed even sooner. So that's one of the reasons I'm very excited about our project. The other thing about our project is we are currently in a building that the city of Bellevue owns down on 116th, kind of between the Chick-fil-A and AutoNation's car dealership there. And the building we're in is literally falling apart. It's at the end of its useful life, and the city of Bellevue has plans to tear it down and actually turn the area that it is into a park. And here's some actual pictures. We had a flood there on the hottest day of the year because the building was kind of falling apart to begin with, and the sprinkler system could not handle the heat. And it's just we're making do, and we do beautiful things there, but we are really looking forward to having a building that isn't falling apart around us. In addition, we have a lease with the city of Bellevue that runs out at the end of the year. And they're looking at giving us maybe a few months extension, but we need a new home. I'm going to transition a little bit into talking about CFH in general. Our mission as an agency is really partnering with men in the community to create a path from homelessness to stable living. And I want to pause and just focus on that word partnering. Partnership is key to who we are as an agency. It allows a fairly small nonprofit to really punch above our weight and do some amazing things in the community. Your partnership is a key example of that. We could not house the men that we house without partnering with 12 different host churches and then about 20 other support congregations who help create a safe place for the men and bring amazing meals to help them get nutrition and good rest and sleep so they can focus on what they need to focus on to move forward. We have so many partnerships with the city of Bellevue and other cities, the King County, Rotaries, to name a few, who help support our mission of helping guys find their path to independent living. I also want to focus real quickly on our values. Our values are key to how we live out our mission. Everything we do is done on the foundation of relationship. We want to lean in and build authentic, trusting, caring relationships with the men we serve, and also authentic, transparent relationships with the wider community. As we are interacting with the men, we want to do that with dignity and respect and empowerment. And I look at those as kind of being hand in hand. Being respectful is empowering our guys to take ownership of the spaces that they're in. And so, for example, when they're going to be in your congregation here in just a few days, a big part of of how we operate is the men are actually responsible for the cleaning, the cleanup. They help with meals. They help with the running of the program because we want them to have ownership and agency over their lives and have responsibility and really want them to feel connected to the wider community. So we do talk a lot, whether it be in this program or other or our other emergency men's shelter or in our housing programs, we talk a lot about the fact that the men have power in this community. They have power in the walls of the shelter to help make other men's experiences go well and their own, or they have power to disrupt it. And we definitely ask them not to do that. We ask them to lean in and be respectful and participate. We also talk about the fact that they have power, you know, as they go around their days to be a positive force in the wider community. That's a key part of us. Or they have the power to be disruptive, and we ask them to think about their footprint. That's really important because a lot of the men feel very disconnected from the wider community. And part of our mission, we think part of our strength is helping them get reconnected and knowing that they do have power. And I think one of the key things about the rotating shelter and our other programs, when volunteers come in, it sends a message that you do matter. So that's an important part of who we are, is sending that message that you do have value and worth and dignity and live into your best selves.
Hey, David, can I jump in and tell just a quick story that comes to mind, speaking of our values?
Yes.
So I'd like to share with you just a little bit about an initiative that was started at the emergency shelter, and it's become somewhat of a centerpiece to our culture working with the men. Some time ago, during a community meeting, we talked about what it means to be a neighbor, and that's a continued conversation that we have as we engage with the men. Being a neighbor is something that we all are, whether we know it or not, and our goal as we help folks find their pathway to stable living is to help them know what it means to be a community member within any community that they serve in. So part of our community decided that we were going to get up together, go out to 116th Street where our shelter line is, and clean up the road. The goal in doing so was to show the our partnering businesses close by that whether it's litter that belongs to us or not, we wanted to be a part of the solution and making a better presentation for Bellevue. And so every Monday, what we would do after our community meeting is a group of the men and I or other staff members would take the supplies up to the street, and we would clean all along the line, gathering up litter or food or shopping carts, returning them to the stores they belong to. And it really empowered the men to take a sense of ownership that we wanted to send a message to the wider community that we are here to do good on our way to do good for ourselves. And we want to take pride. And we also want to set ourselves up to have a reputation that when there's something that impacts the community, we can be a part of making that better. Now, what's interesting about this this project that we started was I had had excitement and motivation, but also a curiosity of how this would go, just in the sustainable aspects for the future, because we don't want to introduce things to the men that fall off after some time. Now, flash forward a couple months later, we've been doing this consistently every Monday. Some of the businesses have even come out to shake hands with our men and talk with me and other folks to say that they see what we're doing. Now, I wasn't able to make it in on a Monday, but what I learned when I came back later that week was that the men took it upon themselves to make sure that they gathered the supplies, and they reminded the staff that they were going to go out and clean the street because they wanted to make sure that it was something that reflected in their integrity and their commitments that they made. And when I came back, they said, hey, we just want you to know that this matters to us. And so I have learned over the time that I've worked with the men that when you show up to work with them, they're gonna show up and they're probably gonna learn more things about themselves and then teach us things about ourselves along the way that do reflect their empowerment to make a change, and that when we engage as a community, we can do really big things together.
Thank you, Kayla. I'll take this opportunity to say that hopefully Susan's helping here, but if you have questions, just feel free to do like Kayla did and jump in or raise your hand or write it. But if we're missing you, because I might not see, so just jump in, because we'll be getting into different things. And if you have a question in the moment, feel free to just jump in, because I can pick up where I leave off or write it down. We definitely want to have some good discussion around any questions you have. Did want to share with this that CFH serves around 1,500 different people every year who come through our shelters and housing programs. And CFH is the only shelter provider and service provider for men experiencing homelessness in East King County. I want to go through CFH's comprehensive approach of how we address homelessness. We have a streets to home model where we actually have somebody who goes to the streets on the east side and builds relationship with men, women, and families. That's our outreach coordinator. Now, if he runs into somebody, a woman, a single woman, he's going to connect them to the Sophia Way. If he runs into somebody, family, he's going to connect them to Catholic Community Services, who has a shelter on the east side, or HopeLink, who has services. But if he runs into a man, he's most likely going to build relationship and then try to most likely get him to our emergency men's shelter, which is our first point of contact, our kind of our emergency room, so to speak, of shelters on the east side. I do want to pause and just say that sort of nationwide, and it's also true in our county, is that close to 2/3 of the people who are experiencing homelessness are single adult men. So it is the largest population that we are serving. And so at our emergency shelter, a man comes in and it's a behaviorally based program. So as long as they're behaviorally appropriate, kind of like you have to be at Starbucks for the most part, then you can participate and take advantage of the services there. We have 3 meals a day. We've got showers, laundry, some storage, other supportive services come in. We also have the rotating shelter that you're well aware of that's housed in your congregation here coming up very shortly. And that has similar services. It's got a little bit more robust case management at the rotating shelter and recovery-based program. We also have a hotel program that we were able to launch starting about 2 years ago. Soon after the pandemic started, the county actually gave us funding for a hotel program. And its original purpose was really to be able to take the men out of the shelter, out of our congregate shelter settings that had health issues that may put them at higher risk due to COVID. And we wanted to get them out and more isolated away from being infected. And so that's been an extremely successful program that we run in Bellevue. And we're expanding that up to 35 as well. Key to our programs, and I'll start with, the shelter services, which would be our 2 shelters and the hotel program. Key to those and helping a man find that stability and personal and housing stability I was talking about is the supportive services. And we're really excited that we're in a period of expanding those, where we are bringing on more case management at the emergency men's shelter. We're going to have a little more case management for the rotating shelter. We're growing our mental health program. We have a social worker who just started with us. We have the director still. We have a part-time therapist who has a credentialing in substance use, so he helps with the addiction support side of things. And we're looking to add a second social worker very shortly. We have partnerships with other agencies to have on-site housing programs and employment support, which is wonderful, because employment is the quickest and often the only path for men to find housing stability. So we're really excited about growing those programs, and we're going to be able to do even more in the new building. And then we have specialized case managers who are who provide housing navigation. Right now we have one, but we're actually going to be able to expand by two more. So that's very exciting for us. And then CFH has 90 units of subsidized housing in two different housing programs here on the east side. We've got our subsidized housing through the county that goes through a coordinated entry system that the county coordinates, and that has subsidies. And then we also have what we're calling our on and up housing, which is men have to have some, you know, usually employment. They have to be able to afford around $600 a month in rent, and then they grow their rent as every 6 months or so. And so they're working to increase rent so we can get them to market rate housing and they can move on. And our primary sort of model for housing, which is unique to housing in our region, is we master lease. I think we have 12 or 13 different 5 or 6 bedroom homes all over, mostly Bellevue, all around Bellevue, and one in Kirkland where the men live. And there's a house manager, and they create healthy community there to help them on their goals and move forward. So I'll pause real quick. Any questions about CFH and what we do? Kayla, you want to take that one?
Absolutely. So we currently have a contract with the Quality Inn on 156th Avenue Southeast in Bellevue. And we've been there since roughly April of 2020. That over that period of time, we have been able to engage with the management over there to help focus in on and understanding our population and coordinating with the men to represent the culture that we have, as David said, that's based on the values. So it's been a flourishing relationship that we have had good fortune and good luck in maintaining.
Thank you.
We don't have any casual labor programs. There are some that our men take advantage of. I will say that we haven't had really the bandwidth, but we are really looking to try to help guys find permanent work. I in all my years, it's been, I don't know of anybody that I know of that has been able to get out of homelessness with casual labor work. Which is our mission, is to help people get out of homelessness. Now, that being said, I don't want you to mishear me and say I don't think casual labor is helpful, because it is. I've known many men who have used that as a stepping stone to help get a more permanent job. But since there's some great places that already do that, we really try to focus and see if we can help guys find the permanent work that's out there. And we actually... I'll share an exciting story. There wasn't much good about the pandemic. I think we can probably mostly agree on that. But one of the things that happened about a year or so ago is King County Parks and Recs came to us and said, we need workers. We're struggling to get workers here, and we've decided to create a program, and we want to partner with some local shelters in and see if we're going to launch something new and try a pilot and see if we can get some employees from local shelters. They set up a interview, on-site interview process, and our guys were so excited about it and so interested that they've done 3. And I think we have 30 different men that have found employment through this process. And which is great. And it also is tied to it, is they're trying to help the men find housing around the region as well. So it was so great to see these men, many of them just who were kind of stuck, and especially early on in the pandemic where there was whole sectors of jobs that were disappearing and men struggling, and to see these guys coming back from work, because they were taking the King County Metro vans to work and coming back and eating dinner, and it brought an energy and a hope to the place that was infectious in the best way. So, employment is really important. Other comments or questions about this or anything else that we've covered?
Yes, so we're open right now only 2 hours on Friday from 11 to 1, but the men can come in and get clothes, and we have them hanging on racks, and it's nice for them that they can just pick out what they want instead of us just handing them some T-shirts or sweatshirts or whatever. So they always say, you know, how respectful it is that they can shop like that. And also that when they leave, they usually tell us, God bless you. And we say, God bless you right back. So they really appreciate it.
And where do the clothes come from?
They're from donations from churches, from people, from individuals and corporations. Kayla could tell you more about where they come from. But quite a bit has come from St. Andrews. I've had several people give me some cash and money and told me to buy new shoes for the men. And I've bought over 140 pairs of shoes, brand new for the men since October, thanks to some of our congregation.
I'd love to just speak up a little bit about that before we move on, because it is an area that I have a huge passion for and a strong appreciation for Cheryl and Kay partnering with us. So just to give you a little bit of context, my background is actually in retail management prior to me making the change in careers. I strongly have felt that as you all are consumers, you probably know, when you are in a shopping experience, it can make your day better or it can make your day worse. Now think through when you don't have a budget to shop on, what that experience is like. So what we did was we launched this initiative last June with Cheryl's strong partnership, and this goal to open up the first shopping experience at Congregations for the Homeless. With David's support and the partnerships like Cheryl, what we did was we took down the shelves, we painted the walls, we cleaned it up, and we put up shopping racks. We have size taggers that you can go through as if you were at Fred Meyer's or elsewhere. You can go through and shop for your selections. And then at the end, you actually check out your purchase. You just don't pay for it. What this does is it gains for the men. The goal is to gain autonomy, agency, discipline, communication skills, and frankly, some delight in having an opportunity to pick out belongings that you know are your right size and really make you feel dignified when you wear them. Now, if you ask any of our men, it's a pretty strong chance that they may tell you many, at least once in their life, they have worn a pair of shoes that were not the right size, too big or too small. They've worn them in the rain. They've worn them without laces. They've worn them with holes in the feet. And that is not what we feel is the best way to allow them to metaphorically and literally put their feet on the ground and take movements to their path for stable living. This was so personal to me because, as Cheryl has said many times, when we allow the men to pick out selections, they feel better walking out the door. And she's been a part of our donation room for several years before that. But by working together, we were able to create what's known as the first men's shop. And in that shop, we have found a lot of wonderful connections and hopefully reduced some of the barriers that allow the men to reach out and advocate for themselves more.
There's a question, two questions in the chat. Questions about clothing, though, are what kind of clothing would the men like to see? And do they need interview clothing? And then Cheryl has said before that jeans are popular and needed. Is that true?
So the men do need interview clothes, but at this moment, I think, and Cheryl, correct me, we're sitting pretty okay and comfortable with the stock that we have. I would say shoes, denim jeans, working pants, specifically 32 to 38 are the most commonly selected pants. We're always looking for the amenities as well. Belts are hugely needed. We're doing okay on ties and other accessories, but really the type of clothes that would allow a person to use for multi-purpose. They may be able to go to an interview, or they may be able to actually do the work. Black polos, I think, are a very common uniform style shirt. that could be used. I don't know if they're requested a bunch, but I do think that that we are often looking for those standard sizes of medium to 2XL, 1X, just to get the guys going with some staples. Underwear and socks are always in a good use, and with the right belt, I think that really helps polish off the outfit.
The other question in the chat is, you mentioned 500 to 700 men are homeless. Do you know how many women and children do your partner agencies serve?
I'm not 100% sure for 2021 in general, like the Sophia Way, I think serves around half of the amount of women that we serve. And most of their programs are half or a little less, half the size of ours, which would make sense because that, you know, that we are serving the largest population. And families is similar. I don't want to misquote their statistics. I don't have them off the top of my head.
I was going to say, in regard to the clothing, hoodies and sweatshirts right now are really popular, and lightweight jackets will be pretty soon too with the spring coming. Athletic shoes, just like, like the tennis shoes right now, they were wearing a lot of boots in the winter, but I think they'll be more into the athletic shoes, high cut and low cut shoes, and sizes, just a variety of sizes, anything from 8 to 13.
Well, I see see if we have some more time with questions at the end. I definitely want to be able to talk about this project as well. I think we're running low on time, right? Well, real quickly, want to say that with the rotating shelter in particular, on average, about 60% of the men who go through our rotating shelter program exit to permanent stable housing, and vast majority never experience homelessness again. And with our housing program that we talked about, over 98% of the men who get into CFH's housing stay stably housed for at least 2 years or go to other stable housing and never come back to housing. So very successful housing program. Here's a picture of one of the homes that we master lease in Bellevue. Our overall, we've talked about this, what we're really excited about this project is it's going to be a place that just exudes dignity and respect for the men. It's going to be new. It's going to be beautiful. And as we want to create an experience where the men walk in, they feel invited and dignified, and as well as the house community of volunteers who come and support us. So here we go. I'm going to dive into this. This is, again, some of the renderings of what the building will look like. What this is going to do is we're not expanding services per se. We're going to take the services that are already in operation or that are growing currently at the Lincoln Center, the building that's falling apart. We're going to move them into this brand new building. We're going to have a 100-bed shelter just like we do today. We have an average of about 125 people a day come through in a 24-hour time. We're going to serve around 1,500 people a year, maybe a little more. What's going to be exciting about this place is this will be the first ever building specifically built with the men flowing from homelessness back to stability in mind. So the whole building is being built with that in mind. So we think, we believe with the supportive services and the flow, we're going to be able to help men be homeless for less time than ever before, which will mean that we'll be able to serve more people. We have the outside's been thought of for gardening. We're going to have some raised bed gardens for the guys to have. We're going to have event space, hangout space, exercise, and then just some peaceful spaces for the men to just hang out. It's going to be three floors, and the main floor, the one with the bridge that you saw earlier, will be the way you get in, and it'll be reception. There'll be the kitchen and dining. There'll be some supportive services they can access, and just community. It's going to be a lively space. Upstairs is going to be where the bunks and the laundry and showers, storage and all of that will be a place for the guys to find rest and rejuvenation. And then the zero floor, sort of the bottom floor, we're going to have their administrative offices, but a lot of that's going to be sort of our one-on-one and small group case management and mental health work, and a small library for the guys to access. So we really want a building where the guys can find all they need to get back to stability. And we have spaces built in here for outside partners who have expertise so they can come in and provide services to the men. And this is where it's going to be. It's by the Seattle Humane Society. There is just west of us, you know, across the freeway from the Factoria Honda Auto there. So a beautiful location that where we're going to be. And we're really excited about what we're calling the campus advantage. What happened was, King County owned this almost 10 acres of land. And we're the small building up here, this little guy here with my hand on it, that's us. We needed about 3/4 acre. We did not need much. But King County said, nope, if you want the land, you've got to figure out how to get all of it. Well, we didn't have the money to do that. So it forced us and challenged us to go out and find partners. And what came out of this, I think, is so beautiful and hopeful for Bellevue and the East Side, because we created a partnership with Inland Group, who is going to be actually developing the whole campus, but they're going to be the owner operator of about 360 units of workforce housing for families. And so this is going to be people, 60% AMI, teachers, you know, baristas, it's workforce housing. And it's going to have a child early learning childhood daycare center on site there. And so this is bringing affordable housing to Bellevue. And then we also create a partnership with Plymouth Housing, who operates permanent supportive housing. And very excited about this for many reasons. Again, it's more affordable housing, but they're going to be doing direct referrals from Congregations for the Homeless, us, and the Sophia Way. For clients who need those extra supports. And this is 24/7 kind of supported programming for people who have more often mental health struggles or physical health struggles, who aren't going to be able to get by in market rate housing. And so there's going to be 95 units of that, and then our shelter. So we're really going to have a flow of more affordable housing in our community. And that is that's the presentation for this. Kayla to take a couple minutes to share a little bit more about the rotating, but first, do you guys have any questions about this project? We do, so we have had different partnerships over the years where and it relies on volunteers, but we currently have the men do an on-site Bible study at our emergency shelter. We've had different volunteers who come and facilitate that. And one of the great things that I love about the rotating shelter and our partnership with the congregations is, you know, many men have found their permanent community, you know, of faith through being invited to the church activities and services over the years. And that's always a beautiful thing to see. So, but we are definitely very open. If there were people who wanted to come and do, you know, do Bible studies, we would be very interested in talking to you. And we do some today. So this new building will have space where the men can do groups and do Bible studies.
Question from the chat. What is the schedule for the other buildings?
So good question. I didn't show that. So our building here, this guy, it should be the first to be done. And it's slated with some of the pushbacks. It's slated for probably about 1 year almost from now, around, you know, end of February, March of 2023. I believe that the Plymouth Housing will be kind of early to mid-summer. of 23, and then this big project will probably be late summer to late fall, depending on some of these factors in our world. So all three should be completed by the end of 2023.
Will this new center replace the rotating shelter program?
That's funny. Somebody was in my mind. I was just about ready to say that. No, this is an emergency shelter, and it's really, people can come there who are still struggling with addiction issues, have untreated mental health. And that is not like the rotating shelter. The rotating shelter is a stepping stone. I think this is perfect time for Kayla. Why don't you share about that progression?
Oh, perfect timing indeed. I just stood myself up because I said, hey, this is a fabulous point to talk about the value and importance of the rotating shelter. So as David said, the emergency shelter, it meets men where they're at, as long as they're able to maintain the behavioral expectations of receiving services. Now at that space, being a low barrier shelter, there are more opportunities for the men to receive services and help them address the barriers that they're facing, which ultimately is a good segue into the work that we do at the rotating shelter. For many of you who've joined for dinner or volunteered or brought a meal, or even engaged with some of the men as they're entering the church during the months that you host, you've probably found that a lot of folks they're working on recovery. They're focused on their next steps, engaged with the case manager. They're checking in with us to see what we're seeing as ways for them to focus on growing skills. The rotating shelter, it allows us to collaborate with the emergency shelter to say, you know, who can we support in a way that aids to the accountability in being able to administer tests that help them with their accountability and recovery. It addresses substance use through those measures. And what we do too is we kind of help we in our relationships with the men, we track to say, hey, this is where we're at. This is where you started. Look at this progress. What do we need to help you move forward? And there is a timing aspect to that, because we want the men to be ready. And if they're not ready, we want to be able to do the work in helping them focus on steps that get them ready to transition out of the emergency shelter and into the rotating. One of the expectations of clients receiving services at the rotating shelter is that they do honor the partnerships that we have with these host congregations like yourself. And part of honoring that, as David said, is being able to participate in the community and keep the space maintained so that it reflects that good partnership that we have. Those are, again, neighborly aspects that allows them to build those skills so that when they go into their own independent living, they have been in an environment that holds them accountable. They have structure in their lives. They have a routine and a measure to hold themselves to that maybe they didn't have when they entered the emergency shelter, but they've worked in gaining skills along the way. This program is critical to helping fulfill our mission, because there are avenues that the men can be met at the emergency shelter and say, hey, when we can work on these things and get you to the rotating shelter, work on recovery, work on addressing substance use, work on engaging you in case management skills, and focus on housing, that allows then for us to set those examples for the men that maybe they've not seen many people like that take those steps in their lives. So it furthers the community aspect of being essentially peer mentors to the men coming into these programs. Do we have time that I can share a quick story? Okay, I'll make it quick. So I just want to tell a little story about a fellow named Jerome. He is a man that came to the emergency shelter late last summer through the outreach of Tom Miles. During that time, he came to us. He shared with us he was feeling quite a bit lost. He knew that his background in working in professional settings was feeling like a distant lifetime away, but he wanted to get back there. He was struggling with substance use. He had some anger management issues. He struggled to feel like there were factors in his life beyond his control. After working with him at the emergency shelter, we were able to identify that if recovery could be, you know, recovery steps could be implemented into his life, which he wanted, then he could address things like his career, his anger management, get connected to his family. Through working with the lead case manager and other people at the emergency shelter, we all advocated for him and moved him into the rotating shelter, which he felt was a huge goal. That was his goal to meet was, I want to be able to be eligible for the rotating program. After a little bit of time working in the rotating program and being fully employed through the Parks jobs, he was able to get in contact with a housing navigator through that program. And over the last few weeks, we have found that he has moved into his house, that he was able to pay his 60% rent that David shared, and is putting continued plans in to work with his case manager so that he can get to the point next year where he can pay market rate housing. This is such a special story because when I first met him, it was clear that he did not trust the system. He didn't know what to expect, and he had a hard time sharing with us what the things that actually brought him to this point were. And to see him leave and be able to know that he did the work, we just co-piloted along with him. It allowed us to see that the steps can really work with the support of the folks like you who give so much to the rotating shelter. And it allows for the men to see that this community is really meant to be a wraparound service space for them to get to where they're meant to be.
Well, I want to thank you guys. I think we've hit our time limit. I just really deeply appreciate the partnership and your time today. And as we will be moving a shelter into close by, we look forward to the opportunities to partner for the success of that emergency shelter program and also continue to keep the rotating shelter program a healthy and lively place because it you know we're seeing several men a month leave there with housing. So you guys are part of making a big difference. All right. Well, thank you guys. And just real quick, Kit, yes, we'll have to look in that partnership with the Salvation Army more. I've got a little disconnected with it through the pandemic. I didn't know what they were still offering. So thank you so much. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to find your way to me, Kayla, to CFH in general, get to us, and look forward to having the first ever permanent shelter and continuing the amazing work of the rotating shelter.
Great. To Kayla and David, thank you so much for being our program this morning. It was most informative. And again, and Kit, thank you for helping arrange it. I would like to say a short prayer to pray us out. Dear Lord, thank you for the program today. Thank you for the good work that Congregations for the Homeless is doing. Teach us all to be more inclusive. Inclusive, I think, is the word. Inclusive and loving. Amen.